In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time out every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we'll learn about the political impact of millennials and about a public lecture happening in August in Charlemont, Massachusetts, on the profound demographic transformation happening today as characterized by the millennial and boomer generations. We're joined this morning by Pam Porter of the Charlemont Forum, as well as by Paul Taylor, who is the former executive vice president of the Pew Research Institute and the author of The Next America, Boomers, Millennials, and the Looming Generational Showdown. Paul will be speaking at the Charlemont Forum in Charlemont, Massachusetts on Wednesday, August 10th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome both Paul and Pam to the roundtable this morning. Thank you both for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
So, Pam, let us begin with you. Talk to us a little bit about the Charlemont Forum and the mission and how this particular program came about.
Well, our mission is sort of like the Lyceum movement of old. We offer residents in Charlemont and our neighboring hill towns a chance to talk about topics of civic concern. We are interested in providing diverse perspectives and giving people a chance to talk about issues of urgency that sometimes make it hard for us to have a conversation. So we bring scholars and journalists and national advisors to our area, and we give audience members a chance to engage directly with these presenters and with one another.
What do you think it is about that, sometimes that difficulty to engage in these conversations, and why forums like this are so important to fill that gap?
I'm sorry, Joe, I'm having trouble hearing you.
My apologies. My question was, as far as forums like this go, why do you think there is that difficulty in talking about these issues directly, making forums like this so important?
Well, we live in such partisan times, and we find even at our forums that it's sometimes difficult for us to remember that ultimately we're all on the same side.
So enter Paul Taylor, who is the former executive vice president of the Pew Research Institute and the author of The Next America, Boomers, Millennials, and the Looming Generational Showdown. How would you characterize the millennial generation, Paul?
Well, a couple of ways. They are now our largest generation in the population, in the workforce, and in the electorate, about 80 million strong from mid-teenager to mid-30s now. They are an enormously consequential generation. Politically, they are the most liberal generation we have seen ever since we've been able to register these things through exit polling and other devices. Were it not for the votes of millennials, the leading Republican candidate for president this year would be the incumbent president, Mitt Romney. If you just had the vote of 3.5 years ago among voters 30 and over, Romney would have won the election by 2 million votes rather than losing it by 7 million. So they have enormous clout. And we saw this, obviously, in the contest between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders throughout this year, where it was millennial voters in overwhelming numbers, 70%, 75%, 80% in many states, voting for Bernie Sanders. And yet at the end of the day, the great majority of older voters voted for Hillary Clinton. I think we're going to see something like that divide the other way in November, with older voters tending to skew towards Donald Trump, younger voters toward Hillary Clinton. One important reason for this is the millennial generation is our transitional generation to a majority non-white America, which the Census Bureau says is going to arrive sometime between 2040 and the middle of the century. Millennials, this generation, is about 43-44% non-white. As I said, very, very liberal. But a major question for this fall is whether they will come out to vote. Young adults tend to vote at lower rates than older adults, too. That's just part of the life cycle. And this generation of younger adults is particularly disinterested, frankly, in voting. The world they have entered is a world where there's disruption, there is change every single day, every single week, driven by technology, and they are very, very keen on technology. But when they look at the political realm, they see gridlock, They see polarization. They see a political dialogue that, frankly, turns a lot of them off. So I think that is a major question for this November. Will they turn out to the polls? If they do, it'll be good for Hillary Clinton. If they don't, it won't.
Okay, so I have two questions, two follow-ups to that. One is anecdotal. I teach classes at a local college. I walk in and I see a great number of my kids either with Bernie Sanders pins or buttons or T-shirts, and you ask them, oh, did you vote? And they say, no. And you think, oh, well, you're a part of the campaign, but you're not voting. I find that interesting, and I don't know, is that anecdotal or do we see that actually follow through?
No, that's not anecdotal. That's real. I mean, to reduce it to kind of a bumper sticker, listen, the Bernie Sanders movement was quite impressive, and given where he started from, the fact that he stayed in as long as he did and got as many votes as he did is extraordinary. On the other hand, it wasn't a revolution, and the young supporters were, to quote, one wag, more throat than vote. If you add up actually the turnout throughout the entire Democratic nomination process this spring and summer, between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, turnout actually fell between the best year to compare it to, which was 8 years ago, and it was Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So there was a lot of energy and excitement. A lot of people showed up at rallies, but the turnout rate among young adults, actually among all adults in the Democratic side, went down. If you look at the turnout rate of millennial voters in 2014, an off-year election, it was the lowest in recorded history. Just 19.9% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted in 2014. That's about 7 or 8 percentage points below the modern historic norm for off-year elections. So again, this is a liberal generation. It feels passionately about a lot of the issues, but it is frankly turned off to politics, and it doesn't see... It believes the complaint that Bernie Sanders made that the system is rigged, that there's too much money controlling it, and it's a, you know, there's a shrug of the shoulders and say, what's the point? Nothing's going to change. And I think that's a real perception. That's just not anecdotal.
And the second point I wanted to make, and piggybacking on what you just said, but with that said, they are an optimistic lot, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, you see that in the data. They are optimistic, and it's interesting because they not only have to fly in the face of the political gridlock to sustain their optimism, they also have to sustain their optimism against very, very heavy and difficult economic circumstances. This generation of young adults is the first downwardly mobile generation in modern American history. In all sorts of ways, you can compare their economic circumstances with those of older adults back when they were the age that millennials are now. And if you look at whether you look at wealth, whether you look at income, whether you look at employment, unemployment, wealth, debt, poverty, et cetera, this generation is doing less well. Less well. Has to do with globalization, automation, lots of big things going on that has hit this generation particularly hard. On the other hand, if you ask Americans of all ages, how's it all going to work out for the country? How's it all going to work out for you? Are you going to have the lifestyle you want, the money you want to lead it? And this generation says yes at higher levels than any other generation. Now, part of this is the optimism and the invincibility of youth that's wired into the life cycle. My own judgment, and I think it's confirmed by polling data, is there's something else going on top of that, which is this generation are digital natives. They grew up in a world where we hold something in our hands that enables us. In effect, they hold immortality and infinity in their hands. Somebody more clever than me described this generation as a pre-Copernican generation, because online, the social universe really can revolve around them. They can place themselves at the center of their universe. They can take their selfies. They can show them off to 5 friends, 10 friends, 100 friends. If they take something, a picture that's really cool, maybe 100,000 or 1 million people will look at it. There is a sense of optimism and awe and possibility that I think is driven by this technological power. The first generation history where anybody can theoretically communicate with everybody. Now, maybe they're going to have an unhappy rendezvous with economic reality. To some degree, they already have, but it has not yet driven the optimism out of them.
Pam Porter is of the Charlemagne Forum. Paul Taylor is the former executive vice president of the Pew Research Institute and author of The Next America, Boomers, Millennials, and the Looming Generational Showdown. Paul will be speaking at the Charlemont Forum in Charlemont, Massachusetts on Wednesday, August 10th. We have links to that event at our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where we also have a where you can also hear this interview again as well. Paul, Pamela, thank you very much for being with us. Great to have you both here, and have a wonderful weekend.